Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Well, it's time for the Puffcast.
Hooray!
This is the fabulous Adam Richard, the outrageous Scott Brennan, the always punctual Toby Sullivan.
Is this going to take long?
Hey!
Oh, it's all fresh and new for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I'm revitalised.
Now, look, this week we have something very special.
Yes.
Because last week we did threaten to create a new segment called Poofstery.
Yes. And by God, we've gone ahead and done it.
We have the history of gayness. Or just anus.
Hey.
But we have roped in an expert of sorts rather than us just...
There's no of sorts about it. He's a bona fide expert.
He's a bona fide history expert rather than us just Googling shit.
Yeah.
Which is what it would have boiled down to.
Because we just end up on XTube anyway when we do that.
Exactly. And then you're masturbating or procrastinating, as Toby keeps calling it. So, yes, Mother Horan, Paul Horan, our history expert, or poofstory expert, will be in.
Our resident poofstorian.
Yes. To tell us the history of gay. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
But before all that, here's some banal shit.
Hey!
Welcome to Every Little Girl's Dream.
Poofcast.
Well, it's time for... Well, I want to call it Dear Talking Poofy, but it's a weird one.
It is a weird one.
It's a giant collective, Dear Talking Poofy. It's a letter from the whole internet.
Yes.
The whole internet. It is our Talking Poofy sex survey. Which featured, I think we shouldn't have let you do it, Toby, because you did put in some questions that were maybe A, leading, and B, jokes.
I resemble that. Well, I just thought it would be an interesting idea because we've been getting so many emails from people that always include the question, oh, is this normal? Is this standard in gay world?
Yes.
So we want to define normal for you.
We want to define normal for you.
We were actually quite surprised by a lot of the results as well,
we were. Clearly, we live in a giant drunken slutty bubble, boys.
Yes.
You should have included demographic questions so we knew how old everyone was.
Oh, well, I knew everyone would lie about that. The internet would have had to add 9 years to every answer.
Yeah.
98.4% of people are 16 from Sweden. No, but it was very interesting. The survey is online on the website. Mm-hmm. If you want to, you know, look it up or fill it in yourself, activity is now pointless.
Yes.
Revisit it at some point.
We may return to it.
It's at talkingpoofy.com.au, the links to our survey, our sexual survey.
Oh, we are so becoming Cleo magazine, guys.
I know, absolutely.
That was the other reason why I thought we should do it, is that I was just cruising around looking for ideas to steal.
Yes, okay.
Time. And
the
having
Talking Buffy sealed section.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And having a cookery competition seemed like a lot of trouble, so I thought I'm going to go with the sex survey. So here are the results.
Right.
I'm going to put my best Eurovision results voice
on. Oh, my God.
And now it's time for the Slovakian judge.
Wah, poah.
Bosnia-Herzegovina, your votes, please. We started with fundamentals. First question was about are you in a relationship or whatever? Evenly split.
Right.
Evenly split.
Half and half.
Half and half. Half and half. Happily single. 38% happily single. 38% partnered.
Right.
And then what were the other?
The other ones were, 13% were desperate and dateless.
Oh.
5% were married. 6% were, it's complicated.
Oh, so like Scott Brennan in a relationship, but, you know, still getting bummed off by everyone who walks down the street.
Oh.
Look, I don't judge. I don't judge.
Well, clearly I don't discern.
And 0% replied, it's Sunday morning, I can't tell, call me back in 4 hours.
Right. That's because they were all just getting bummed off by some random.
You don't fill in a survey when you're in post-coital glow.
Oh, it depends how it went, I guess.
So that's pretty even.
And there was a place on the quiz to put comments.
Yes.
And there are a few comments here.
Mm.
One of them is, maybe it's the living with my parents that put people off.
Stop having sex in front of your parents.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Those foursomes just aren't working out. I do like
I'd hate to be in the middle of a threesome and mum comes in. Look, I've made your dinner. Are you going to hurry up and gobble down on that cock so I can make
Your deb's getting cold.
On the contrary, mum, it's just heating up.
I like this one. Since there are two guys I'm doing this with, I'm putting complicated, but I have a thing for a guy at work. It's been 4 years and nothing has happened. I am his boss.
Oh!
Wow, that is a complicated call center.
You know what? That is the shittest sexual harassment I've ever heard.
Yeah,
it's taken you 4 years and nothing's happened. You need to at least get arrested or get sucked off.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Obviously, that's Usher writing about Bieber. Question two, didn't take long to get down to brass tin tacks.
No.
Let's get to the seal section. How would you rate your sex life? And I was, as I say, we live in a drunken slutty bubble. I was expecting a few more salacious answers. But nearly fully half, 48.9% of people said it was just safe and certain.
Well, maybe they were just clear, you know, sticking onto the safe part because we do encourage a lot of safe sex.
We do.
Oh, right. Sure. But I think, a lot of people seem to express comments that indicated that it was just ticking over. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we got a lot of non-existence and what sex life in the.
Yeah, sadly, only it was, the absolute minority, 18%. Hardly anyone said it was exciting and inspiring.
Right.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot of people just having a bit of a gobby on Sunday night after 60 minutes.
Oh, all right then.
Right.
But I reckon I would have said, you know, not terribly interesting even when I was single, because even then I was like, you know, you go out and you think you're going to have exciting sex and then you go, oh, I should have just had the souvlaki and gone home. This is really dull.
Yeah, but sex doesn't have to be, you know, promiscuous to be exciting.
No, but, you know, you think it's going to be dangerous and exciting when you meet someone at a club.
And that's why you keep going back to gay clubs, because of that, you know, that possibility of
like
there being...
Once you had a really interesting sexual encounter and then you keep going back there and it's like, oh, God. Oh,
it's all the same.
It's like watching Winners and Losers, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was an episode that was really funny. No, it's just the fat girl being sad again.
But we did have a couple of comments about this too, and one of them is, have a partner who's on meds that make his libido disappear. I'm playing a bit on the side without him knowing. Judge me. I know you will.
How about that? So his partner's on floppy drugs and...
Yeah.
I had a friend who was in a relationship with someone who had a really high libido and they were like, oh my God, I cannot keep up with this. It's exhausting me. And they went on to the same meds, obviously, which meant the libido dropped and they're like, oh
thank God.
It has been so good. We have sex maybe once a fortnight. Just fine with that.
Great.
Just fine. I'm not sore and exhausted every day.
I'm getting so much done. I've done my tax.
Oh, God, I'm not limping anymore.
So far, people are fairly happy with their lot and not too bothered about sex. There you go. I thought it'd be a bunch of fucking slappers banging in back rooms.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe slappers don't have time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a biased sample.
Yeah. Maybe we need to get some kind of deal where this podcast is simulcast into some dark rooms.
If anything is going to stop you wanting to have sex, it's hearing us banter on about.
And plus, I don't want to put myself off.
Oh, sorry. Can we stop having sex for a minute? Oh, this is a really good bit where I play roulette. Hang on.
Yeah. There we go, just totally getting gobbed off, slapping my thigh, going, oh, Toby and Adam, you've done it again.
Question three. I don't trust this. I think people have not done this properly. Mm. Question three, we asked, have you ever had an STI, sexually transmitted infection?
Right.
And 60% said no.
Yeah.
Mind you, if they're all having safe, partnered
boring
sex, probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not boring.
Possibly not. 60% said they've never had it, and sort of basically everyone else said, yeah, from time to time, but I dealt with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that because it's I for infection? As opposed to, people don't think of crabs as a...
Well, actually, yes, there are a lot of comments about, do crabs count?
Ah.
If by that you mean crabs, then yes, otherwise no. Lots of comments. So I don't think a lot of people weren't including crabs in that. But I think we can include crabs
of course
the STI
it's a sexually
umbrella.
Transmitted condition. You don't get it from, you know, sharing coffee cups.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, someone's left some lipstick and a pubic crab on
the... Yeah, I know.
Do you know one other thing I noticed? I stopped getting crabs after a certain age, which is probably about 30, where I just... They occurred maybe once every 2 years, as opposed to...
It's because your blood's gone off.
Every 6 months. Well, maybe because I was just tasted more like Maui. No. I could afford better alcohol.
Oh, you've just developed a tolerance or
no,
something.
Do you know what I think it is? Mm. I think you stop spooning after a certain age.
Right.
I think as you get older, you're like, oh, I can't. I don't want to hang around. I'm just gonna stick it in and go.
Yeah,
just quick blow and go, and then I'm out. Whereas, like when you spoon with someone, plenty of time for the little assholes to jump across.
Yes.
To a bit of paddocks.
Yes.
Oh, there's heaps of hair on this cunt. Whereas when, like you know, when you blow and go, there's no time.
There's
no crabs in a beard. Like, you can't get crabs from a beard into your pubes.
Yeah, true. Well, depends.
They don't like sunlight. They die in the sunlight.
Oh, really?
So if you walk around nude all day, crabs are not a problem.
Great.
But, yeah, I reckon it's the, you know, over a certain age, there's no sharing a bed anymore. It's a vinyl couch or the back of a car.
Or, you know, that sunlight thing is a good tip. Screech Beach, girls.
Yes.
The answer. Yeah. That is the answer.
That's why I like to sunbathe with my legs wide open.
Well, I reckon we have talked about this so much, we should probably do it again next week.
Yeah,
good idea. All right, stay tuned.
We'll continue.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to these cocksuckers, but you have to. Poofcast.
It is time for the interrogation.
Ooh, Vika.
We have, I like to call her Australia's number one fag hag, but I don't know how she feels about that. Formerly from The Breakfast Show on 92.9, you might have seen her on Australian Idol or The 7pm Project, or if you live in Melbourne, you might have been to see her fabulous cabaret shows.
Mm.
It's Emilia Ruscino. How are you, darling?
I'm so good. Oh, look, I'll take that title, Australia's Best Fag Hag. I'll take it and I'll be proud.
Oh, good on you.
I don't think there's any other serious contenders.
No. I don't know anyone who is friends with so many celebrity fags than you.
Well, you know, I also think it's not like that I want to marry a fag or sleep with a fag. I want to be a fag. I'm a different category of hag.
Well, first up, this is one that we can hopefully answer. Is there anything that confuses you about homosexuality?
Oh, God, so much. Where do I start? Yes, I want to ask a question. So the concept of the top and the bottom, what happens if two tops fall desperately in love and there's a crossing of swords? At what point?
If there's a Jedi battle.
Yes, it's like it's two sword-crossed lovers, to take a pun from Romeo and Juliet. If you meet another major power top, but you love him, how do you decide who becomes bottom?
Well, that brings me very neatly to my new business venture. Bottoms on the go.
Scott will double end for you and your top boyfriend.
That's right, yes.
It's not there rent in 30 bottom. Minutes, it's free.
Okay, rent a bottom. Good.
Yeah.
No, I did. I have a friend who is a strict top, strict top, and I asked him this question. I asked him if he wanted to come on the Poofcast, and he said no. But he said basically, someone has to learn.
Yeah, right.
It does become a bit of a test of wills.
Yeah. Right.
You got to sleep sometime, buddy.
Yeah.
I love that. At some point, someone's just going to have to go, all right.
Yeah, it's your fucking happy birthday. Come on.
But I just imagine for days there, it could be like a horror movie at that house, kind of with just one of them always looking over their shoulder. What's behind me? Oh, God.
And they're getting into the shower and they're like, why does it smell like amylene? Oh, God. I'm dilated. No, it's too late.
It's a trap.
At least it's better than double bottoms where they're just stuck at opposite ends in the house on different doorknobs.
Oh, Christ. Now there's a visual. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
But, again.
Yeah. But then again, if you time the slamming of the doors right, you can get a great version of We Will Rock You Out.
That's how Freddie Mercury wrote it, actually. Little known facts. That's where it comes from.
Gal Surprise. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. All right, Em, who's your favourite diva? And you can't name yourself.
Well, oh, look, nothing goes past Queen B. You know, Beyonce for me.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Val Layman for a second. Prisoner's going, butch, but good.
Yeah.
No. Beyonce.
Beyonce, because bitch has got a wind machine hidden in every available type. Yeah. I mean, you put a kid dying of cancer next to her who's about to lose the last gasp of hair on her little head, and Beyonce's like, hell no, I ain't turning down my wind machine. Tell me I can see your hair go. That woman's commitment to a wind machine for me wins hands down.
Do you think we could get carbon credits for her as a source of renewable energy?
Absolutely. I mean, even when she announced her pregnancy, the bitch had wind machine going on. I love her.
Yeah. Imagine the birth then.
Can you imagine her and Bonnie Tyler in a wind off?
Oh my God.
That would be insane.
Turn around. Oh, God, I can't wait. Oh.
It wasn't Hurricane Irene. Beyonce was doing gigs in New York.
She only performs during the monsoon season.
Oh, Beyonce.
Oh, bless. Yes, yes. All right, Em, which do you prefer, cock shot or face pic?
Okay.
What have you got on Grindr, love?
Wow.
Yeah, I want to talk about this, okay? I don't understand the whole cock shock thing. Because sure, he's got a nice penis, but what if he's got a bung eye? No one can get over that. I just think, let's go with a nice face shot. We can deal with a smaller penis, but if there's a bung eye, nothing can fix that. Why penises, please? Sometimes I'll be talking to one of the poofs, and I'll look over, and he'll have a giant erect penis on his iPod while, you know, talking to me about my kids. I don't understand it. Forget it.
Now, can I point something out, darling? If someone has a bung eye, then it doesn't necessarily matter unless you're either looking over your shoulder or fucking in front of a mirror.
But with the Grindr, so you guys, you found someone who's throbbing within 500 metres of you.
Yes.
And you see their penis, still haven't seen their head, and you rush home and you open the door and one eye is at a right angle. Can you still get naked with this person?
To be honest, it depends on the cock.
There is a trade-off. I suppose you would have to, like, there's no standard unit of measurement. There's no, like, cochron. So it's not like... well, his dick was 11 cochrons, but his eye was -4 cochrons. And I never fuck anyone under 8 cochrons.
Yeah. Sorry, I just need to do some calculus before I go to bed with you, just to make sure.
Now here's the ultimate Grindr horror story, and I'll make it quick.
Mm-hmm.
The cock shots were sent, and my friend turned up, and the man was in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow. That is a test of commitment, isn't it?
He went through with it. And all the man wanted was to pleasure my friend because he couldn't move anything else. So he kind of wheeled over and did a little wheelie and popped his head in the lap and did his business. But this was all because of just the cock shot. Now, if there had been a full body shot, I suggest this could have ended differently.
Well, he should have included a shot of his spokes.
Do you know what I like there, though? Your friend's gone, oh, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
He really did.
I've driven up to the drive-through window. I might as well get the Big Mac.
In fantasy came for the cock.
Yeah.
See, and thereby the cock shop works.
Yeah. I'm just a little bit horrified by, like, the physical logistics of negotiating a wheelchair.
Yeah.
There was so much involved, and he said to him, can you be quiet because my grandmother and my mother are in the...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. And then Bette Davis appeared at the door and said, yeah, Blanche, you're in the chair.
Yeah, I reckon wheelchair come and go, whatever. He's coming and go, it's fine.
He'd want to put the brakes on, though, while it was all happening.
He was in a wheelchair mono.
Right.
Oh, so he's up on one wheel.
Yeah, totally.
To get. Oh my God.
Wow.
So he's got a lot of upper body strength. That's
hot. Yeah, that's hot.
I don't even understand what's
happening.
It's like
a cross between Club 80 and Circus Oz.
We're all going to hell.
Yeah, but we've got to walk. At least that guy gets to roll downhill there.
Oh, thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
My pleasure.
And you are doing a gig at the Trades Hall, yes?
Yes, let me plug it, for God's sake. And don't you edit it out, you bitches, or I'll come after you when you sleep. I'm playing at Trades Hall on the 24th of September. I'm on at 10:20, so, you know, have a couple shandies. Come along. It's called The Saintly Bitch. I tell stories. I sing. I wear a leotard. There's fog. Why wouldn't you?
Indeed.
I have a thing called the Segway fan, and if I get bored with what I'm saying, I wave it and start something new. It's fantastic.
Well, we will put all those details on our website, and I apologise that this has gone to air 6 weeks after your gig.
Fuck you all. I love you.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Bye, darling. Bye.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Poofcast.
Oh, no.
I wish we could find a proper sponsor. This is starting
God,
shit
why me. Doesn't Red Bull or something sponsor us?
Because we're not good.
Yeah, okay.
They only sponsor good things.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or dangerous things.
Yes. Well, then we tick that box.
Yeah, we do a little. So it's time to welcome our major sponsor with the Grunt Report, Grunty McFarkring.
I'd just like to begin, if I may, which of course I fucking well may, I pay for this shit. If I wanted, if I may choose to decorate the bedroom walls of your childhood home with butterfly fold fecal expulsions on Christmas morning, if I fucking may. So I'd like to begin, if I may, by apologising on behalf of the podcast to the actual concept of entertainment itself. These shrieking fairies hereby acknowledge their wrongs and admit their considerable crimes, and in recompense commit to spending the rest of their lives as ugly, corpulent, unhygienically functioning alcoholics. Oops, too late, already fucking done, box tacked. That horse has bolted out the prescription drug abusing door to go have a nap in a cardboard box under a fucking bridge for a few years. Right. Now, that's out of the way. I must admit, lately, I have felt a great disturbance in the force. Oh. First, I thought, shit, that's the prolapse acting up again. But nah. Pedro assures me after close inspection that Lady Colon has not left sphincter unexpectedly. So what the fuck can it be? Well, Wangstones, I'll tell you. It's the morning boom. Oh, I keep reading about this mining boom and the millions and billions of dollars being spent and made in Australia's outback, and, well, I just fucking hate it when I know that someone else is making more money than me. It just gets right under my skin, like a case of crabs caught from brushing against a door handle Scotty once breathed on. I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't bully my staff properly. You know, I keep doing crazy stuff like paying award wages and complying with OH&S policies. I fucking changed the oil in the chip fryer twice this year. What am I, Donna Hay? Anyway, I can't fucking stand it, but I'm a man of action, not words. I've always been of the view that if you've got a problem, take out your frustrations on loved ones in a series of passive-aggressive humiliations. However, I don't have any loved ones, so I tend to solve my problems through deeds, which is why I can announce today that the national chain of Rongen's gay bars and official stationery supplies to the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg has sold a mining exploration lease to a major Chinese nickel company. Kerching Minerals will shortly begin exploratory drilling wells in the beer gardens of all 16 Rongen's venues with a view to major open-cut operations beginning in the next 12 months. Regular patrons should not be disturbed. We will have to move the Bucking Bronco to the front bar on Tuesdays. But we've rostered the work schedule, so there's a change of shifts on karaoke night, and that needn't be disturbed. In fact, the whole thing's turning out to be a pretty good deal for me. Those miners love a drink at the end of the shift, so that's a captive market right there. Plus, with all the tradies getting around in overalls and hard hats, I've been able to sack on my go-go boys on Saturday nights. So come on down to Rongen's this weekend and say hi, Viz, to Fly In, Fly Out Fridays. This could be the hottest shaft you've seen all week.
Thank you, Grunty.
Thanks, Grunty.
You're really determined to have us killed.
Hey, get over yourself. He's not going to kill us.
Oh, why not?
Because we're going to be raped and murdered in this building. Poofcast.
I am inordinately excited about this segment.
I'm a little bit terrified.
I love it too much.
It's growing on me. It's certainly very educational.
It is. It's our segment, Is That a Thing?
Is That a Thing?
And this week it is...
What's our list of things? What's heading up our list of things this week?
I don't want to say it out loud. It's the pink sock.
The pink sock.
The pink
Well, pink socks are a thing.
They are. Yes. If your grandmother knits them. Apparently the pink sock is when...
Let me guess. I'm thinking it's like a load rag thing. You know that thing about like jerking off into a sock?
No.
It's your jerk off sock.
No.
Is your pink sock.
No.
No.
Okay. No. Think of the pink.
Yes. Yes.
Think of the pink.
I'm in a pink frame of mind.
Right. When you...
Are you going to get all Mr. Darcy on us now?
When you have anal intercourse...
Yes.
That might be particularly rough, or you've had it maybe a little bit too much of times.
And your dick gets a bit raw?
Not your dick.
Your foreskin?
Not your foreskin. If part of your inside comes outside... it's a prolapse, basically.
So when the pulling out happens,
when you pull your cock out, part of Scott Brennan comes with you, and is now
you
hanging
get a little
outside of his ass.
Oh, it's God.
Can that actually happen?
That can actually happen.
I don't believe that's a thing.
I
don't think that's anatomically possible.
I think I've seen it in porn. They've been
pulled out.
Yeah.
Well, you need more lube, basically, for a start.
Yeah.
If you're getting that much traction.
Yeah.
On the way out.
If you're getting
out.
That much purchase, then...
Yeah, if you're getting that much purchase, you've got a tiny, tiny little ass. Yeah. And you must, like, just shit straws.
I don't think it's so much the tiny little arseness. I think it's the battering of the muscles holding
it in place.
When the muscles just go, enough. And you get a little bit of pokey outy.
Pokey outy.
So what do? Is it like when you lose a tooth and you just stick it back in? What's the Bear Grylls process?
I think you push it back in with a tablespoon.
No, I think it'd be like trying to get a sleeping bag back into the bag.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like when you unpack electronics and you can never repack it the same again.
Yes.
The polystyrene never fits.
I'm gonna take this back to the shop and
No.
I would.
I don't.
Does it go back in by itself or does it need to be?
I'm not a doctor. Supposedly,
I thought you might know.
You mean like if you take a few deep breaths, like the cord on the vacuum cleaner, it might just retract.
Yeah. Or, get slapped in the face. Bang. Suck. And it's back in there.
It's like, oh, no, I've got a pink sock. Quick. Cause me a fright.
Yeah. Boom.
Oh, there we go.
Hiccups.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I shouldn't hear about that because now I'll be paranoid.
That you'll get a pink sock.
That I'll get a pink sock.
Pink sock.
I don't think you have sex anywhere near enough to have any issues with a pink sock.
Oh, come on. Annually.
Yeah.
I think it is a wear and tear issue.
I don't, but Peter's dick has hooks in the end of it. So.
Like a cat.
It's like Velcro, yes.
So this would be a close relation of cauliflower ass.
Cauliflower ass or the rose,
as
it's sometimes called.
Yes.
If you've been fisted too much, when you bend over, it's
blooms.
It blooms.
Wow.
Which
I reckon that this plays up to the whole hysterical mythology of, when you're at high school and...
Yeah.
And, Pufta's fully, they can't even shit anymore when they're 60 because they've been fucked up the ass so much.
Yeah, they have to put tampons up their asses to stop it from leaking.
Doesn't that happen for some people?
I think it does.
I think you're far more likely to get, a pink bloom or whatever it is from, eating wrong than you are.
Yeah.
From
people who I like to call fistipients, recipients of the fisting.
Right.
Would get it.
Oh, well, fisting is a whole different, that's a whole new level.
That is probably the cause of the pink sock more than anything else.
Because hands are made for grabbing things. I would be incredulous if your standard dick ripped your ass on the way.
Unless you had a cocaine cock.
Unless you had a cocaine cock.
I haven't seen everyone's cock here, but, none of us have a cocaine cock.
No.
No, I've got more of a Yakult.
It's so hard to get the fucking lid off, though. Jesus.
Millions of good bacteria. I'll be very surprised if that makes it to air. I'll be very surprised if I can live with that on the public record in the morning.
That's almost as good. That's almost as good. As the
my occult cock.
do this segment anymore.
I'd say that's the end.
Let's move on to something else.
This was how your day started. Started wrong.
Poofcast. It is time for a new segment. We did promise this last week when we were speaking to Fido the cunt happy growlhound or whatever he was called. Our one heterosexual listener. We need to go back and do the poofstery.
Yes.
The history of poofs.
A bit of learning.
Yes.
So we have roped in someone.
Because we are intrinsically lazy.
Yeah, because we're stupid and lazy. And only concerned with what's happening on the Glee project.
Yeah.
so we've roped in Mrs. Paul Horan.
Good morning. Hello. Good morning, lady.
We believe you have some sort of expertise in the area of things that are old.
Look, I'm a dabbler. I'm a dabbler. No, I understand that you've had a letter from a listener
yes.
who said, you know, young kids today.
They know nothing. They don't know who Oscar Wilde is. They don't know that you could have been in jail for
like
copping it up the date at one point.
I'd like to say that listener, no wonder you're lonely. shush.
No,
that's the thing too. I don't
know that much either. I know like, my idea of gay history is like
I watched
12
Funny
Apostles,
Girl once.
Oscar Wilde. Someone threw a brick at a window in New York.
Well, mainly because it's so badly written. Gay history books were written, a lot of them, during the gay pride, kind of gay liberation era.
Oh,
and they're
in the
very
70s.
Worthy.
Yes, yes.
They stink of patchouli. And they really, it's just a lot of it's so badly written.
Right. Pashmina historians.
Yes. So I have delved, I have Googled.
You've Wikipedia'd?
No,
that's all lies.
That's Wikipedia. All lies. No, that's so I've done that for you. And so I'll present some
highlights, some key gay figures of history.
Yeah. Well, for our first poofstery segment, Ms. Horan, what have you got for us?
I would like to start with Abraham Lincoln.
Oh! What? Controversial.
Stovepipe hats.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he was shot in the theatre. No.
And it was a revival of Rent. So I think he was gay. No, Abraham Lincoln. In 2005, a book came out saying, hey, Abraham Lincoln could be a bit gay.
And
huge amounts of controversy.
Is that why he wanted to free the slaves so they could all come into his bedroom?
No. Yeah. Chris, go party at my place.
Emancipants man.
Oh.
Look, now the story is, now no one really knows.
Right.
Okay, there's no
diary. Well, let's pretend that we do.
But next year, there's a book by Larry Kramer, the great gay playwright, that promises to tell all.
He's the Angels in America guy.
No, it's Tony Kushner. He's the kind of gay, the gay before that.
Right.
Yes.
But anyway, there can be only one.
He's doing this amazing history of America that will sort of make everything gay.
He's doing the poofstery.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do we have you there?
So till then, you're stuck with me.
Oh.
Anyway,
no, but, so, but Abraham Lincoln. I'm Abraham fascinated Lincoln, by this idea.
There was a lot of controversy about how he would sleep with a lot of guys. And in the 19th century, when you're in the frontier, you do tend, if there's just one bed, you sleep in the same thing. However,
like Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
The most interesting one is that he slept... Now, in the frontier, sure, you sleep in the same bed.
Yeah.
But when you're in the White House... There's enough beds, okay?
Plenty of beds.
Yeah, it would be quite big.
His bodyguard during the last 2 years of his life was a guy called David Derrickson. And when Mrs. Lincoln
Derrickson.
Was away...
Can you smell it?
Derrickson. Mr. Derrickson would sleep in the same bed as him.
Really?
Just to make sure he was really safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his
So thing. Is that what Mrs. Lincoln was doing? She was also protecting him from murderers?
Yes.
I think there might be an assassin hidden inside your colon.
Let's dig him out with my penis.
So no one really knows, but if you're going to go for a candidate for first gay president of America, I think 50-50 on Abraham Lincoln.
You know what?
Is that it? Is that the only smoking guns, this bodyguard?
Guy
is that the only thing? Or
well,
is,
no,
is there a series of...
Before that, there was a guy called Joshua Speed, who a lot of people said Joshua had a, and in the parlance of the time, he had a streak of lavender.
All right.
Yes.
Right.
Now,
right.
They,
I love that as a part.
Yeah.
That's probably Abraham Lincoln's best friend, and they were lawyers together. And when they were lawyering together and doing various things, they slept together probably for about 8 years in the same bed.
Oh, my God.
Now, look, I'm not too sure about furniture history. I'm a gay historian, but really, surely, if you're both lawyers, you can afford two beds.
Yeah,
but apparently
afford a separate bed.
Now, listen, you may not know the answer to this, but what was the prevailing attitude towards homosexuality at the time? Like, obviously, it was illegal and officially frowned upon. Yeah. But throughout history, there's been various levels of tolerance. Like, it wasn't always the whole ironclad Victorians. They would often turn a blind eye.
Well, especially during that time, if you were an engaged couple in America in the 1860s, you could sleep in the same bed, even though you weren't married.
Really?
And often what they would do is they would get a plank and they'd put it down the middle of the bed between
you. Oh, could I be the plank?
This is, say, a big board. This is a big bed. And they'd put a line of salt on the board so that if this, you know, if you... You know, went over, you want a copper feel.
You would disturb the salt.
You'd reach over, you disturb the salt.
Or if a snail was crossing the bed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there were a lot of really bad tequila accidents around that time as well.
I want to know if the reason Abraham Lincoln had that massive stovepipe hat was because he constantly had one of those eggs on his head from being bashed into the headboard.
I was thinking kind of stovepipe, shitpipe kind of scenario.
It was a shitpipe hat.
Yeah.
So do you think there is a possibility that everyone knew that he was queer but just sort of just kept it on the down low? Let's not.
The down low. Abraham Lincoln on the down low.
Four score and 7 years ago, totes, we had a shit time.
Look, I think the jury is out. I think during the 19th century, you could, you know, be very, very friendly with guys. Mm. You could hold hands in public, for example, with a man. You could do, you know, there was a lot of, it was mainly because it was an innocent time and people didn't really think about that time.
They didn't think about sex.
They were too busy dying of syphilis and things like that.
Which does take up a lot of time.
It does.
Yes. Yeah.
Busy, busy, busy.
Quite
today.
Distracting.
Must die
of syphilis. There we go. Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Hopping it up the shitpipe hat.
Holy shit.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mrs. Horan.
Look, a pleasure.
Well, I don't know about you, but that episode kind of hurt a little.
Yeah.
It did. Good. Oh.
We'll be back next time with probably more poofstery, and I'm still contemplating whether we should do Where's Where's.
Do it.
Let's
do it.
Let's stick with it. It's kind of, it's like non-consensual, but you know, let's do it.
It hasn't been on for a couple of weeks, and I've kind of enjoyed the breathing space.
No,
my brain has enjoyed the breathing
space. It's brilliant. Just enjoy the colours.
All right.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Poofcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Poofcast.